This little kid runs into a preacher out walking in the neighborhoods and in the streets, and the preacher says to the little kid, he says, "Hey, I'm new to town, and I can't seem to find the post office. Can you tell me how to get to the post office?" So the little boy says, "Well, you just go down the street over here, take a right, and then a left, and you'll be at the post office." And the preacher said, "Thank you, little boy, for telling me that. And I tell you what, since you showed me how to get to the post office, you come to my church this Sunday, and I'll show you how to get to heaven." He says, "You don't even know how to get to the post office." Now, I can get lost going to the post office. So I hope you stick around long with me tonight, and we'll see if we can connect with this deeper sense of what God is trying to do here in our midst tonight. I wonder how many of you have one of these in your pocket tonight. How many got their cell phone, handy dandy, on them right here? Jeannie doesn't go anywhere without her cell phone. I imagine that over the last 15 to 20 years, this little piece of electronics has changed our world as much as any other little piece of electronics has. This cell phone. I mean, look around, right? When you're driving, aren't more and more people just driving kind of with one hand now, right? You got the kind of the cell phone drive thing going on, right? I know you're all trying to pretend, I didn't do that, Pastor. I've seen you drive, all right? I'm watching you out there. I've seen you. My dad said he came in from Wisconsin, flew in on the airplane, and he got off at the airport, and he said nobody looked him in the eye. Everybody was walking around the airport doing this the whole time, texting, tweeting, checking their email. It's amazing that the phone has gotten smaller. But the smaller it's got, the more that it can do. I happen to have my very first cell phone here with me tonight. Remember these? Right? Remember these babies? The Motorola bag phone? Right, man? I'd be cruising around. "Hey, baby. Check me out on my phone," right? Never figure out why this wasn't more of a babe magnet, right? I mean, the bag phone. I bought the bag phone, the Motorola bag phone, when I was a traveling salesman. It was my way to stay connected with the office. Really, what I did is call sports radio and win tickets, you know, and things like that. But I think about the cell phone and how much it's helped us stay connected. There was a year of my life when I commuted between Detroit and Chicago for an entire year to go to seminary. Bridget would put me on an airplane on Monday, she'd pick me up on Friday, and if it wasn't for that cell phone, we stayed connected every night. I was able to call her. And I think of just a few years earlier, I probably wouldn't have been able to do that. That cell phone, although we were hours apart, we stayed connected every single night because of that little cell phone. You see, now I have this. I've downsized from the Motorola bag phone to this BlackBerry Curve here. This thing, it calls, it texts, it checks email. I can take pictures, I can record video, I can play music, I can play games, I can surf the web. This little thing keeps my calendar, my contacts, my fantasy football team. I mean, it's all on this little phone right here. Plain and simple, this little, I know I could have done a little better in fantasy football. I'll do better next year, Joe, I will. This phone keeps me connected. But if you have a cell phone and use a cell phone, you know that there are occasionally places where your cell phone doesn't do you any good. We call them dead spots. Spots where there's no reception. Sometimes dead spots catch you right in the middle of the road, right? When you're going down the road and you're on the phone and you're talking to somebody and suddenly it all kind of cuts out. Anybody ever have a dead spot right in the middle of a conversation? Yeah, it's usually when you're sharing the most important thing, right? "Baby, I've been thinking about our relationship, and I really think we ought to take it to the next level, and I really love you." Oh, you didn't hear any of that. Okay, great. You know, I mean, it always kind of happens, right? I mean, dead spots, they catch us right in the middle of the road. Some of the dead spots we know about, some sections of regions of the state are dead spots. Northern Michigan, man, we go up north and we get like above Flint, and there's like dead zone everywhere, right? I mean, you can't connect. There's dead spots and dead places. It's funny, when we took the kids to Redbird, Kentucky, you know, we're out in the middle of like nowhere, right? And we're out in the Appalachian Mountains. There is not cell towers anywhere, but there's this mountain. And the rumor was, if you climbed to the top of this mountain and held your cell phone like above your head, you could get like a bar of service. And these teenagers, they climb that mountain every day to go up to the top of there in order to use their cell phone. We drive these windy mountain roads in the morning to get to our work site, and they'd sit there just waiting for a bar of service in order to get their texts and their tweets and their messages, in order to stay connected. I mean, the cell phone keeps us connected, and dead spots stop us from being connected. Dead spots. The world's full of them. Literally as well as figuratively. And there's nothing more that we want to do when we find ourselves in a dead spot is to find a way to connect through it. Connect with something, with someone, with anything that will tell us that we are not journeying through this dead spot alone. I think that's what happens when we encounter a dead spot on our cell phone. For a moment, we feel like, man, I'm no longer connected. And when those dead spots find us in life, spots that we are wounded and bruised, spots where we are lonely or confused, spots that are left vacant by the loss of people we love and who love us, we yearn for that connection in the middle of those dead places. Something, somewhere that tells us we are not doing this journey all by ourselves. Places like of poverty, places of homelessness and hunger, death and addiction, violence. Some would say that our entire Southeast Michigan, with the turn of its economy, is simply a dead spot. And I know that there are people out there trying to figure out how they're going to make it, make a living, make ends meet, wondering, how on earth am I going to connect? Am I doing this journey all by myself? In less than a month, Don, myself, and Paul Dinopoli from our church, we're going to be in Haiti, one of the deadest places in the Western Hemisphere, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, now ravaged by earthquakes and hurricanes and cholera and political unrest. And why are we going to that dead place? To connect. To say, you're not having to do this journey by yourself. Make no mistake, we're going to go there and we're going to install 4 toilets in a middle school. We aren't going to change the world, but we want them to know. You're not going through this dead place alone. We're walking it with you, because when we encounter those dead spots, well, all we really want to do is connect. And that's why you're here tonight. At least that's what I believe. You've come here looking for a live place, praying that this is a spot where you can connect, where you can make a connection. You know, I know that we come here for lots of reasons tonight. The sanctuary is never as beautiful as it is on Christmas Eve. We come for the beauty. We come for the familiarity. We come for the memory, the mystery, the story. But I also believe we come for the connectivity. Some of us have come here to connect or to reconnect with something we once had, but maybe we've lost, or maybe never have, but desire. Whatever it is that brings us here tonight, we have come to connect. Connect with something. Maybe someone who reaches out to the world over and over and over again. We come here tonight praying that that connection that happened in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago is a connection that is still happening in our lives right here today. You remember that early Verizon commercial where the guy kept popping up all over the place? He'd pop up out of a manhole, or he'd pop up in a ballpark or in a mountain in the woods, and he'd always say the same thing. What would he say? Can you hear me now? 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 And isn't that what we've come here tonight? To hear God say that to us. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Because tonight is a holy night, but it's a relatively wordless night. For this is the night God has chosen to speak to us through a child, through a baby, who can't speak for himself. Which maybe means that's the best way that God connects with us after all. Because at the end of the day, it's not words that make the biggest difference. It's like Andy said, it's connection. It's being there. Willing to connect in the middle of the dead places of our life and our world. Don't believe me? That's okay. Just ask the parents of Dax Locke. Ask them about connection. 2-year-old Dax Locke had been battling a rare form of leukemia since he was born. When doctors told his parents earlier this year that cancer had won and Dax wouldn't make it till December 25th, his parents did the only thing they could think of to make their son happy. They began to celebrate Christmas every day. In October, they brought the lights out and they put the tree up. And I suppose that would have just been it for this little town in Washington, Illinois, but eventually the neighbors put theirs up, which led the other neighbors to put theirs up. Eventually, the city hall heard about Dax's story, and there in the first week of November, the city hall pulled out its entire light display and put it on the front yard for Dax. This community began to celebrate Christmas for this little boy, so every night his parents could put him through the car and drive those roads up and down every day for Christmas to come alive. Then with the power of the cell phone, with the tweets and the texts and the facts, people all over the world began to put their Christmas decorations up, and they began to send pictures to the Locke family, and every night before they would go to bed, they would look at hundreds of emails from across the country of people who began to celebrate Christmas in the middle of November. And then the presents began to come one by one at the door, and every night they would open those presents together, one present a night, all for a 2-year-old boy who was traveling through a dead space. And his neighbors, his community, the Christian church said, "We will give you the connection you're looking for that tells you you aren't doing this journey alone." Dax's mom, Trish, said this: "This is not a story about the pity for a little boy. It's about hope. It's uplifting and it's spiritual. It's about connection." And once you hear Dax's story, God asks that question: "Can you hear me now?" If you don't hear him now, I don't know if there's much I can do to help you here. Friends, hear the good news of this season. Doesn't matter what spaces we find ourselves living through in this life. The God who made himself known to us in the baby Jesus at Bethlehem is a God who came to connect. A God who will walk through us through every journey of our lives. And if ever you don't think you can hear him, come to a place like this where we'll help you connect and help you answer that question. Can you hear me now? Merry Christmas, friends.